welcome to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on this Wednesday morning midweek edition of the Evan Bray Show. And we just had Mayor Chad Baczynski on the show to talk to him, follow up a little bit about the news release, the news conference that was held yesterday with relation to the decision that the Regina Board of Police Commissioners made to fire Farouk Sheikh, the chief of police. He was named chief of police right at the end of 2023. So, you know, this is obviously there's lots of intersections with me in this conversation because I retired as chief in June of 2023, started this job, this new opportunity to have a conversation with you every day in the fall of 2023. And it was right after I had started, actually. I was newly on this program when the Board of Police Commissioners made the announcement that they had finished their exhaustive search to find a chief of police and they hired Farouk Sheikh. So, you know, the timeline from when he was hired to when this complaint came in was not even a year and a half. It's been 6 months since the investigation has been announced and taken place. And then it culminated yesterday with a decision of substantiated discreditable conduct on behalf of the chief. And he was dismissed as a result of that. Now, the key evidence, as they laid out in the news release, were a couple of things. There was ongoing communication between the chief and a board member. So this is a Regina Police Board member. And that communication was kept from other members of the board in the Regina Police Service. The chief and the board member exchanged in an exchange of text messages during and related to an in-camera discussion. So in-camera meaning the chief doesn't sit in on that portion of the board meeting because it pertains to him. They were having a discussion about amendments to his contract. But while that was going on, he was engaging in a text conversation with this member of the board. And then the chief, Chief Sheikh, suggested that the person he was texting, the board member, should delete the text messages because discovery of them would put things at risk. And then, of course, the fallout from this, he later characterized the nature of the communications. It was not something that he felt was wrong. He didn't take any responsibility or ownership of that being wrong behavior. And the board found that it was serious in its offense of the RPS core values of integrity, transparency, and accountability. So in terms of the board member, the mayor, as you just heard, did not give the name of the board member. Publicly, there is information out there that Alicia Morrow was the member of the board who resigned. And that resignation happened right around the time or just before this public complaint came forward. So then we also know there was a leaked letter that would have been privileged information only available to a select couple of people, the complainant of this case being one of them. And that letter has Alicia Morrow's name on it. There has not been a formal recognition by the Board of Police Commissioners, though, that Alicia Morrow is the complainant in this case. So, you know, we obviously can connect the dots on this. But I think it's just worth saying that there hasn't been that formal recognition by the board that that's the case. So, you know, this is one of those situations, obviously, that really hits home for me. I'll probably start this conversation by saying I love that police service. I love the Regina Police Service. And while I recognize that through the years, there's ups and downs in every organization, but you know, when you put your blood, sweat, and tears into an organization, which I did for the better part of 30 years, I spent 7 years, a little more than, as chief of police. I mean, it's kind of like one of your family, right? Like, and it's weird to talk about an organization that way, but you feel that way. And so, you know, I keep trying to remove myself from the position that I held and obviously the perspective that I have to talk about and think about, you know, is this a big deal? This has never happened in the history. Regina Police Service, don't forget, has been around, what, 130 plus years in the city of Regina. That's a long history of policing. That's a lot of police chiefs. I think I was number 14, so Farouk Sheikh would have been police chief number 15. Never had a police chief fired before like this. This is a big deal. This doesn't happen every day. And so what I went home yesterday and I pulled my contract out and I actually brought it in today because I wanted to look at the wording in the duties section. The chief shall, perform all lawful duties, devote the full attention and energy as reasonably required. There's all that kind of stuff. But point D under the duties says the chief shall remain bound by his or her oaths of office and secrecy and by the Police Act and its regulations and by the Regina Police Service Policy Manual. So it's in, you take the oath of office, you take the oath of secrecy when you become a police officer and then again when you become the chief of police. And it uses words like faithfully and impartially. And you heard Mayor Chad Baczynski talk about the RPS values, integrity, transparency, accountability. So, when you hear in this situation, we know that there was conversation happening with an individual board member about his contract in a session that was not meant to include him in the conversation. There's lots that you can draw the line to. But when I asked the mayor today, how big of a factor was it that the chief failed to take responsibility for his actions? You heard the mayor's answer was absolutely. That was absolutely a factor in all of this. So, there's a couple of things. Number one, the chief's relationship with the Board of Police Commissioners. The Board of Police Commissioners is an entity, and as an entity has power. The current Regina Board of Police Commissioners is 7 members. Individually, those members have no power. They only have power collectively. And so, this was a heavy and important principle that we used to talk about all the time. Individually, board members didn't have the ability to make a decision, direct anything with regard to the police organization, but collectively, they wield a lot of power, which is why it's very important. And this was a practice that was handed down to me and advised to me by even our legal counsel at Regina Police Service is there needs to be that healthy professional relationship / boundary between the chief of police and board members. You're not hanging out socially. It's not that kind of relationship. And you have to respect that professional boundary. And knowing that one board member has no single authority, it's only when they're working together as a collective. So there really is, I think, guardrails in place to try and ensure that you're not stepping over top of those guardrails, blurring the lines in some way. The chief, of course, has to set the standard in the organization. And so if you've got an organization with expectations that they're going to provide respectful professional service, that they're going to, follow all of the mission, vision, and values of the police service, the chief obviously sets that tone. And there needs to be an expectation. If that's not there, then the whole organization is obviously, I think, rudderless in many cases. And the number of times as a former chief of police that I had members sitting in front of me who through their career had stepped offside. People absolutely, whether it's they make a mistake or they act out of malicious intent, the ability for the person after a full investigation is done and it is clear, it is black and white, here's what you did. Here's the reg, here's the rule, here's what you did wrong. Having that person who's sitting in front of you say, I screwed up completely. I'm sorry, I don't know what I was thinking, or, I'm not talking about making excuses. I'm talking about just being a human being. Just own up to it. In this case, as you heard the mayor say, the lack of recognition by Farouk Sheikh in this case was a factor that played into that. A lack of recognition that texts to an individual member of the board in a meeting that was intended to be in camera, so not involving him, where he's trying to inject influence through that board member is not appropriate. And clearly that board member ultimately came forward complaining about that. So there were elements of it not substantiated, but there were elements that were substantiated. He has the right to appeal. The chief under the Police Act, there's a dismissal section for the chief of police at Section 68. Section 69 gives the right for the dismissed chief to appeal it. That appeal would be done to the Saskatchewan Police Commission. So that's the body in the province that basically they're the final stop for all discipline-related offenses or allegations, and that would be the case here as well. And if he took it to an appeal, and a successful appeal likely, as the mayor talked about, would not include him getting his job back, but would potentially, if they overturned the decision saying this was without cause, then there would be some sort of severance payout, and you know, potentially there's some face saving for future employment opportunities. So I mean that's what the I guess Farooq Sheikh will have to weigh out whether or not he wants to take this to appeal. Is there ground? Is there something there? Because of course he will be on the hook for the cost of that, perhaps unless it's overturned at appeal. So we don't know yet whether or not that will happen. Here's the final thing that I'm going to say is I've been very careful from the moment that the announcement came that the Regina Police Service had a new chief of police. His name was Farooq Sheikh. Of course, that is not who worked for years at the organization, didn't come from inside. He's had a lengthy career, worked over in England, worked in Alberta, worked in a variety of different spots. I was shocked when I heard that. Now, I got the number for Farooq Sheikh right after I heard that hire had happened. I texted him as the former chief saying, congrats on this new job. If there's anything I can do to help with your transition, here's my number. Don't feel free to reach out. And Farooq and I had talked a number of times, especially in the early days when he first got here, just trying to get the lay of the land. This is what I know about police services and how they hire and move forward with chiefs of police. Typically, and this is, I'm talking for police services, typically, if things are going well, and going well could mean a bunch of different definitions. You're happy with the production, with the service being provided with the community. You're happy with the relationship the organization, the police service has with the community. You're happy with the relationships in the organization. So from a labor relations standpoint, and I'll mention that we only had two grievances in the 7 years that I was chief of police. We had very good labor relations. We had very good community relationships. In my mind, if things are going that well, there's no reason to bring someone in from the outside. I was shocked that they did. And so while I offered my support to the chief because I want to see the organization succeed, I was shocked that Laura Lee Davies, who, by the way, applied for the job when Farooq Sheikh did, was the deputy chief, one of two deputy chiefs that worked with me as chief. She applied for the job, finished second, and didn't get the job. Typically, if things are going well in a police organization, the next chief hire comes from within. If there's a need, if there's no one who's noticeably ready from a succession standpoint, or there's a need to change direction, there's a need to bring in fresh ideas, there's a need to bring in, a bit of a new perspective, maybe change directions, maybe make some hard decisions. That is typically when a board of police commissioners will hire someone from the outside. I don't believe those conditions existed. You had internal candidates who were ready. You had a good relationship with the community. We had lots of positive things happening. We had great relationships in the organization. To me, it is still absolutely head-scratching why they went outside for that hire. But they did. 1-877-332-8255. Happy to hear your thoughts. We'll take a break, but when we come back, you know, my hope is that when something like this happens, although it's messy and it's challenging and it's tough for people in the organization and in the community, my hope is that people look at the process and say, well, there's a process in place to protect when things go off the rails. My hope is that you aren't saying, that's it, I've lost my faith in the police. But only you can tell me that at 1-877-332-8255. Your thoughts when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Let us rest up early, we can help one another be strong. Let us never lose our yearning to keep the fire going.
think this is a quote from Herb Brooks, but we are a team of uncommon men. I think a normal team would have folded today, and we're not normal. We are, I think, one of the best team in baseball, and yeah, we got out of bed today with our hair on fire and ready to play.
It was a big win for the Jays, no doubt about that. That two-run home run in the third inning from Vladdy really set the tone. From that moment on, it felt like we're in good position. We can do this. By the way, the home run from Guerrero Jr. sets a franchise record with the most postseason home runs as well. Four runs in the seventh inning. George Springer not in the lineup. That was a tough one off the start, but ultimately we obviously pushed through there. And I said this off the start of the show. I mean, the Jays proved Shohei Ohtani is a human being. They were hitting his pitches. They struck him out at the plate. Boy, it was good. Shane Bieber pitched a great game for the Jays. We know that Trey Savage is on the mound for the Jays tonight. And Blake Snell, who, by the way, pitched in game one that we won. Yeah, Blake Snell will be the pitcher for the Dodgers tonight. Game starts at 6 o'clock. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of texts coming in. We are talking about the Regina Police Chief. Generally, one thing that I'm seeing and reading from people is the transparency would truly be made, that level would be met, if those text messages were released. And clearly, the Board of Police Commissioners has no intention of doing that. They talked about the nature of the text messages, but they didn't release the text messages. In fact, they haven't gone as far as to release the name of the person. And I talked about, I mean, there's enough out there, and it was reported publicly by news media. The member of the Regina Board of Police Commissioners who stepped away, resigned her position from the board, was a community leader by the name of Alicia Morrow, who is an entrepreneur, a business leader, sits on various boards. We also know there was a leaked memo that while there was no confirmation from City Hall, from the Board of Police Commissioners, Alicia Morrow's lawyer said she had concerns with her client's name being released in this memo, and they were looking at further possible legal action on that. So, you know, again, got to make sure that we're addressing this in a way that is correct and accurate, that it has not been identified directly that that is the complainant, but there are some dots that can be connected there. It's a lot of people saying it's the behavior of not owning up to your mistake, not admitting what you did, that people seem to be taking exception to. I'm going to read some texts. I'm going to take a couple of your calls when we come back. Lines are open right till 10 here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
It's tied series again, so 0-0.
I think that this program deserves the win.
Such a great experience. I thought it was going to be really tight at the end, but no, we can put it away.
This win is amazing, buddy. I can't get over it.
Oh, it's great just being able to watch the game here. The energy was ecstatic. You know, that seventh inning was electric. I just love to see it.
I don't know who that fan is that said, "This win is amazing, buddy. I can't get over it." But I can picture he's got a beer in each hand. I know he does. Jays win last night, ties the series up at 2, so now it's a best of 3, basically. Game 5 tonight, starting at 6 o'clock, and if you aren't able to plunk yourself in front of a TV to watch it, the good news is you can listen here. CJME, CKOM, we are carrying the games live as part of the Sportsnet Blue Jays radio network during the World Series, so feel free to tune in. It's been a lifesaver for me. There's been a couple of times where I haven't been able to watch the whole game, but while I was in the truck, I was able to tune into the radio station and give it a listen. Okay, I'm going to go to the phone lines here and read some texts as well. We're asking you, I mean, with the decision that came down yesterday, Regina Board of Police Commissioners made the announcement, Farouk Sheikh fired as chief of police, was substantiated in a complaint investigation of discreditable conduct. So fired with cause, which means no severance. Does it change the confidence you have in the police service when something like that happens? Or does the fact that there's a process in place and the process yielded an investigation that brought forward results that ultimately held someone accountable for actions that are offside. Does that prove to you that there is reason to be confident? How do you see it? Let's start with Kevin in Regina. Kevin, thanks for calling in. Your thoughts on how everything's playing out here?
I guess, first of all, that doesn't affect my confidence in any way, shape, or form with respect to the police service. What it does, though, is it makes me somewhat question the hiring process. And when the chief, former chief, Sheikh, was identified as a successor, his CV was posted as it related to his previous experience and that kind of thing. And I couldn't help but notice that he'd had several short-term positions in different organizations. And that, to me, is always a red flag. And it's a red flag from two perspectives. One, as it relates to the hiring body, whoever it is, the Board of Police Commissioners in this instance, trying to find out how effective the individual was in his positions wherever he was working. And the other part to that is there a cause behind that movement? And so I was concerned at that point in time. So I hope that the Board of Commissioners has learned something from this. And the second part is I hope you, when you're talking to Acting Chief Davies, can try and talk her into throwing her hat in the ring again.
I wouldn't be shocked if she does, Kevin. Thanks for your input. Thanks for your call. Just by happenstance, we have Acting Chief Laura Lee Davies booked for 10 o'clock this morning. This wasn't as a result of this announcement. This has been booked for the last 4 months. We book usually 3-4 months ahead, where we bring the chiefs on once a month. We do it with Saskatoon. We do it with Regina. We used to do it with Rhonda Blackmore and the RCMP. And we do a bit of a lay of the land. So it just happened that we have Laura Lee Davies booked for 10 this morning. So I will ask the question. She applied the first time. Will you leave your hat in the ring for the chief's position? I also saw a text on the text line saying, does the Regina Board of Police Commissioners have to do a big competition? Could they simply appoint a chief? The answer is yes, they can. They don't have to do a big competition. They could say, well, we held a competition less than 2 years ago. Laura Lee Davies, who has worked for nearly, 29 years at the Regina Police Service, applied at that time. They know what to get, what they're getting with Laura Lee as a leader. We've seen her hold the ship steady. And I mean, there's lots of people like myself that worked with Laura Lee through the years as well. There could also be other candidates inside the Regina Police Service. I mean, that's the thing. There, from a succession planning standpoint, this is what I talked earlier. And by the way, I got criticized for. There's a couple of texters that are critical of me, like, who cares, Evan? Who cares what you think? Okay, well, fair enough. I'm telling you, I have my point was, and I was trying to just say I have an interesting perspective on this because I sat in the chair for a number of years and I saw the qualified people inside the organization, which is why it was a bit of a head scratcher to me when they went outside. So in answer to the texter saying, do they have to have a big competition? They don't. They could just make a hire. 1-877-332-8255. I want to continue this conversation. I'm going to go to Larry in Saskatoon. You heard the news yesterday, Larry. Regina Police Service made the decision to fire their chief. Does that change the way you feel about a police service or policing in general?
Not necessarily. I think the old axiom for institutions, generally speaking, a fish rots from the head down. So that importance of their role in setting the standards, if you make a mistake on that, then you have a problem that will eventually work its way down through the institution. And so, but it works in the other way as well, because no institution is any better than the content of the character of the individuals that make it up. So if you have good individuals in the institution, it does take some time before bad leadership can work its way down through there. For example, we have in the RCMP, obviously, big problems at the top, but there are some officers, many officers, overperforming, trying to keep the system going. That has a limit to what can be done. Mm-hmm. So I think your comment, and the fellow who called in before, that's a perceptive comment about someone's resume when they're applying for a position of importance and leadership, and they've been moving from position to position. Professor Jordan Peterson has a comment about watching out for those kinds of people. There may be a sign of a problem.
It's great comments, Larry. Thank you so much for calling in. Yeah, it's a big one to unpack for sure. And there's lots of comments coming in on the text line. I want to get to a couple of the texts. There are a number of people saying that, the actions of one individual. So this is a good example. Jason from Saskatoon said, good morning, Evan. The actions of one individual, even if they're in a leadership position, does not erode the confidence in the function of the police service. The judicial system does far more damage in eroding the trust between people and the police service than any individual ever could. To all police officers, thank you for your continued service and leadership in the communities for which you work. Jason, thank you for your text. By the way, he sent in a quick text saying, the caveat to that being, I fully understand the judicial system handcuffs police services and the process is not transparent to the majority of citizens. So thank you very much for that. I do see a text here from Sheldon and Esteban saying this is exactly why you don't hire chiefs outside the police department. There's a time and place for it, right? There's a time and place for it. And I've seen it in the history. It's happened in the history of the Regina Police Service and many in this province and outside, where there's time for a change. And sometimes it's tough. If you feel like if you're on the board that's doing the hiring, you feel like it's time for a change. Sometimes that change is tough to drive from inside. You can have some changes, but generally speaking, you would get probably more substantial changes, or if the board is wanting to direct changes, maybe, like I've seen it happen where chiefs have been brought in to reduce the size of a police organization. We had that in the early 90s. A chief was brought in from Calgary with the sole purpose of, we need to reduce the numbers, ultimately to reduce the budget and the expense on the city. So they have brought someone in from outside to do that work. So those things, there could be a time and a place where an outside chief or anything, I mean, we could take this outside of policing, obviously, as well. It makes sense to go outside. Sometimes it doesn't. This decision, this is Bobby in Saskatoon, this decision in no way affects my confidence in the Regina Police Service, but maybe with the board that made the decision. I think hiring this individual was a poor decision. 1-877-332-8255. Maybe we'll take a break. Then we'll come back and we'll finish up open lines till 10 o'clock. And then at 10, we have the current acting chief of the Regina Police Service, Laura Lee Davies, in for her regular monthly visit. Although she, of course, had nothing to do with this investigation. She was just asked to lead the organization while it went on. She won't be able to provide insight to the investigation, but what she can tell us is, how has it affected the organization inside? How are the people feeling? And is she interested in the job? So those will be a couple of questions we will talk with Laura Lee Davies about when she joins us at 10. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.